Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
This episode is sponsored by R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice, a welcome addition to anyone's sleep routine. Pace Case, if you know me, and you do, mm-hmm. you know that I'm yep. working all hours of the day, all hours of the night. Mm-hmm. So the sleep that I do get has to be very good sleep. And I'm always looking for ways to up my sleep routine. Sometimes I'll read a book to go to sleep. Sometimes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, The Bachelor?
That book keeps me very awake. It's very engaging. That never puts me to sleep. Mm. I will sometimes just put down my cell phone after a long day of looking at a screen. It's nice to get some time away from the screen. I also will incorporate some R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice. It truly makes you go to sleep a little easier. It's the thing you need to help you drift off into the dreamland.
As more and more people are looking to prioritize sleep, Organic Just Tart Cherry is having a moment thanks to Tart Cherry's potential sleep-related benefits and potential to aid in muscle recovery when you get those gains like clues. We're seeing this in the viral Sleepy Girl Mocktail trend on social media. R.W. Knudsen has a whole lineup of natural juices with zero added sugar, so you can feel good about adding them to your wellness routine. It's all about celebrating those daily wins. Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice is made from tart cherries, which may help you get a better night's sleep because they have natural melatonin.
R.W. Knudsen crushes only 100% real ingredients, so you can crush everything you do. Pick up a bottle at your local grocery store today.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to Game of Roses.
This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues coming to you with a Twibbon, the first Twibbon after Charity Lawson season 20 has concluded. We're going to have a lot to say about that in State of the Game, of course. But we do have some other interesting bits of business here up top before we get into it today.
Pace Case has an apology. I incorrectly said that Deanna could be the first divorced bachelorette, and I forgot about Tayshia Adams.
Yes.
Apologies.
Apologies to Tayshia. I have an announcement as well. Bachelorette may be over, but it's never over. There is always a season of Bachelorette to watch, and on Monday, on our Patreon, Clues Corner is going to be covering Bachelorette Season 1. So if you've never seen that season, if you don't know anything about it, that was Trista Rayne, of course, the first Bachelorette. She came from the runner-up position of Bachelor Season 1. She lost the ring to Amanda Marsh that season. I'm going to be covering her season of Bachelorette. Please join me, Clues Corner, at patreon.com/GameOfRoses.
Oh, man. I have to watch this. What you've been saying about Gin, I've been like, I gotta see this.
Just watching Bob Guinea play for the first time is a true treat. But so many other things happened that season that are firsts as well. We saw the first Kringle limo exit. We saw the first Aloha limo exit. Truly is a historic season. And in addition to that, next Monday, in celebration of all the various parasocial teams that we have in our beloved game, we have t-shirts coming to celebrate the Denver High. So if you're in the Denver area, or you just like that area, or you just want a Denver High t-shirt, they're going to be out Monday. Check all of our social media for links to buy them and all that kind of stuff. But you can head to gameofroses.co.
Yeah. I've been rocking my San Diego Crew hat. Poser.
That is a poser. Mm-hmm. It's a traitor to the LA Icons. How dare you?
Look, I wear my Icons hat too.
Okay. But as long as you're wearing both at the same time.
I'm a fan of design. I got to alternate my hats, throw people off my assassination coordinates.
You're a regular Braden Bowers. We also must mention that now schedules are out for the upcoming seasons of Golden Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise. Both of these shows are going to premiere September 28th at 8 p.m. Eastern for Golden Bachelor, followed by season 9 of Bachelor in Paradise at 9 p.m. Eastern. We're going to cover it all, pal.
I got a question. I got a question for you. What are they doing to us? Why are they doing this to us?
What are they doing to us? Look, let's not get into the state of the game just yet, but they're giving us gifts, in my opinion.
Okay. Thank you for these gifts.
New episode of Grafting coming out with Grace Ann Parks, covering episodes 27 through 33 of Love Island USA season 5, which you can watch on Peacock if you have that.
Y'all, this Love Island USA season, I've got to say, is my favorite Love Island USA season I've ever seen. And it's got one of the best, if not the best ever, Casa Amores and merges that I've ever seen. So I'm going to be doing that finale episode, or the last few episodes, I'm going to be on that one of Grafting.
Fantastic.
Can't wait.
And that's it. That's all of our business up top. Now let's get into this, Pace Case.
Game of Roses. State of the Game.
Today for State of the Game, we just want to take a moment to bask. You see. Because we've just come off of Bachelorette season 20. I'm still on a high. I've got the fucking afterglow.
We're basking.
It's, you know,
it's a good thing to do.
We have to take this moment to just kind of revel in this feeling. Because I got to say this, although I'm very opto at this point, Opto 2023, I think, has been a great success. I think we were instrumental in changing the trajectory of our beloved game here with Opto 2023, but we still don't know. I'm still cautiously Opto 2023. I don't know what BIP 9 is going to look like. I don't know what Golden Bachelor is going to look like. So far, they look fucking great, but we don't know yet.
You're worried about the 9-day no poop?
I'm worried about that a little bit. The turtle literally poking its head out of a shell to mimic a turd coming out of an asshole. I'm a little hesitant about these things, but that said, right now, those things don't exist yet. What does exist is Bachelorette Season 20, one of the greatest ever. You know, I had a little moment of sadness the other day. I was going down the street where that charity Lawson billboard was that I took a picture with and posted on my Instagram. Mm-hmm. And it's gone. It's no longer Charity Lawson. It's just a blank billboard waiting for the next ad. Exactly. And it was a little...
poetry.
A little sad to me, yes. That said, I think for me anyway, just in terms of where we are as a fandom, as a fourth audience, I personally feel like the last, whatever, three-ish years of this, really since the pandemic, since Bachelorette 16, when those seasons ended, well, at least for most of them, when those seasons ended, you felt a kind of sigh of relief. Then when they were like, we're going to have Bachelorette 17 and 18 in the same season, and there's going to be no reprieve, you couldn't really breathe a sigh of relief. But I'm just saying, like, tonally, I felt like when all these most recent seasons ended, I felt a sense of, God, thank you, finally. I felt like I was released from some kind of torture chamber. I do not feel that way. I feel lament that this season is over. I want more of it. I wish there would have been more of it. And what that does, ultimately, to me, is it makes me very excited about the upcoming Bachelor Nation content. Golden Bachelor, BIP 9 specifically, even fucking Bachelor 28. I'm already anticipating a great season coming out of that. And this is a feeling that I think for a lot of us hasn't fucking been there for a minute. And it is great to feel it again, to feel that anticipation.
Are you kidding me? Last Bachelorette season, what were we coming off of? The blackface scandal unaddressed and Greer scandal. I mean, this season, we haven't really had that.
No.
I think that adds to the lightness of it, but...
I agree.
It's I'm so happy that we are actually good at manifesting and that we literally manifested a good season. There were other circumstances which, you know, contributed to that prediction slash we willing it into existence slash we live in perhaps a scenario.
What? We are living in a scenario. I'll grant you that.
Simulation. Simulation.
Oh. I'm like, yeah, I think everybody lives in a scenario. That's accurate. Never going to change. You die in a scenario as well. All things are scenarios. But maybe we are living in a simulation. I don't know. But I just want to put out a thank you to the producers of this season for turning in a fucking fantastically made and presented season as well. There were a few hiccups here and there, and we'll be going through some of those, I'm sure, on our show next Tuesday, where we're going to be breaking down the top 10 takeaways from Bachelorette Season 20, giving out our season-long awards and all of that. But overall, I think the producers of this season did a fantastic job, a much better job than we've seen in recent memory. And I would just also like to put out this offer to those producers. You're about to start shooting Bachelor Season 28 in the next month, roughly. Players are getting their calls right now. You've been selected. You're flying out. Here's your flyout date. It's all gearing up to start shooting imminently.
Mm-hmm. How do you know that?
How do I know that that's happening?
Yeah.
It happens every year. This is when they shoot every year. In recent seasons, modern era seasons, I should say. Back in the early days, they were fucking popping them off left and right. But now, that's the shooting schedule. Players get all their calls now. They get flown out next month. They start shooting during September, October, through the beginning of November. Then it starts to get edited, and it comes out in January, obviously. There will be 2 weeks in that shooting schedule, roughly, maybe a little more, maybe a little less, where you're shooting in Los Angeles, California. Coincidentally, Pace Case and I live in Los Angeles, California. Mm-hmm. So it would require no money for Pace Case and I to come out and host a group date where we teach players how to hooju. Then you have a hooju competition in the end of the group date, judged by, hear me out, judged by ourselves, Dark Lord Palmer, and Kelsey Weir, the greatest hoojuer we've ever seen. And maybe Michelle Young. She was also very good. Can you please make this happen? I'm begging you, producers.
I love this. I'm down. Whether it's the podcasting date or the hooju group date, I'll do them all.
I'm telling you, the hooju group date would be one of the most popular things in the history of The Bachelor, because it's something that fans love. And if you shoot it right and present it right and treat it as a competition, not only will it be funny and cute, but you're going to get to see all these players doing hoojus on The Bachelor, by the way. Joey's going to have to sit there and take like fucking 10 hoojus from people, which would also be funny.
Yeah. Which one of us, you or I, is going to demonstrate it on Joey?
I'll do it.
Great.
Then you also get to have a trophy, and it gets to become, something like the football game. What do they call it? The Bachelor Bowl? It gets to become something like that. So it becomes part of the legacy. Yeah. And I think that this is a fantastic idea for a group date. Again, Pace Case and I are available to host it at no charge, at no cost. We will simply do this for the love of the game. Nobody knows more about hoojus than we do. I feel very confident I can coach all of these players into strong hooju performances. And then you bring in that legacy. Fly Kelsey Weir out. Mm-hmm. Replay the footage of her doing her first international hooju to pilot Peter Weber. Let their minds be blown by this.
Replay Katie Thurston doing it in her final rose ceremony. That was one of my favorite hoojus.
She also did a double hooju on her one-on-one with Matt James.
That's why she had that slit in her dress.
Yeah. Do you remember that? When she hoojued him in the day and night portion, both? God damn it. High-level player.
One of the best.
Just an idea out there, producers, if you're listening... And producers, if you're not listening, maybe a friend will send this to you. This is our offer. We truly want to do this, and I think it would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. Please, we beg of you, make this happen.
For free.
Yes, for free. And I know that that's an important, that's totally important to the Bachelor producers. We're willing to work for free. Anyway, I just wanted to take a moment for this in this state of the game to really talk about the fact that, like, I have not felt this way after a season of our beloved game in a while. And it feels fucking good again to me. Anyway, people can have whatever reactions they have to it.
Yeah, wait, why are you saying we wanted to take this moment? We both loved the season.
I think they did it very well. And I don't know. It's just, like I said, it's been such a long time to have this feeling. I don't want to say that we're in a renaissance quite yet. I think we need to see what happens with Golden Bachelor. We need to see what happens with BIP9. And we need to see what happens with Bachelor 28. But come February next year or March next year, when Bachelor 28 ends airing, I think we're going to have a very good idea of where we actually stand. But I'm extremely optimistic coming off of Bachelorette 20.
Clues.
Yeah.
We can make this happen. Let's just manifest a great paradise and a great Golden Bachelor.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Golden Bachelor is still shooting a little bit right now. Paradise is already shot. So that's up to the presentation now.
The presentation is a huge part of it, though.
Totally. I 100% agree.
So we can still manifest it.
Yeah. All right. Fuck it. I'm manifesting with you. But at any rate, that's the state of the game. We're manifesting over here. We're trying to get our Hoochie group date in Bachelor season 28.
We're going to do it again.
If we can manifest hosting a fucking Hoochie group date in Bachelor season 28, I don't know if I'm...
You'll shit your pants?
No, I mean, I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to go home after that group date. I might just stay wherever it is and that becomes my new home. I just have to live on the Hoochie field.
Toilet. Oh.
Toilet.
That's just always where I picture you are going to hide.
Yeah. I don't think that's accurate, but I think you could do the Hoochie group date at like a high school football field or something like this. Perhaps even a, you know where you want to do it? You want to do it at Pan Pacific Park here in Los Angeles. They have a lot of big open space and they have some nice pathways that wind into trees where you can get good shots of the approach. I think that's actually a very good place to do it.
I feel like you want to do it on a football field so that you can have like the yard lines and stuff.
Yeah, but there's something in the presentation of the Hoochie, traditionally speaking, the ones that are presented properly, it usually is on a path and you get a shot of the Hoochie-er smiling and starting the approach, the jogging or running up to the anchor. And then you get a reverse shot of the anchor waiting for the approach and the mount to begin. I don't know. Could be shot anywhere, but
yeah,
just some thoughts.
Yeah. We're just saying it's easy to shoot.
Yes, for sure. Easy to shoot. And it's a fun group date. It involves no forced nudity.
You don't have to pay for the celebrity host. Actually, Kelsey Weir, you should pay her.
I agree. So anyway, that's it. That's the state of the game. We're very happy, very optimistic, and hopefully we'll be hosting a Hoochie group date very soon. All right. Now,
we should also announce our upcoming schedule.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be changing.
Okay.
For BIP, in a few weeks, we're going to change this. But we will be doing next week our top 10 takeaways for the Tuesday episode. We will still have Twibin. And then in the rest of the few weeks before BIP, we will announce what those episodes are. Perhaps a Golden Bachelor Instagram breakdown, if we can find it.
Yeah, if they release those players. Yeah, if we can find it and if they have Instagrams, we'll be checking that out if possible for sure. But we're going to be covering... Like Pace Gay said, Bachelor in Paradise, Golden Bachelor coverage might wind up on Patreon, but we're going to be covering it all one way or another. So please join us for that. And let's now move on to that portion of our program where we're talking about all the movements and the numbers of our favorite players across Instagram and television ratings. This is...
This Week in...
Games.
Monday night's season finale of Bachelorette season 20 pulled in a 0.53 in the demo with 2.985 million raw viewers. That number, the raw viewers, highest number all season. Coming in a close second was Fantasy Suites at 2.981. So relatively speaking, a similar pull. And the 0.53 rating in the demo was the highest rating all season other than Fantasy Suites, which was a 0.56. But if you're looking back in history, I'm looking right now at a chart of all the ratings for the entire season. The season opened at a 0.35. Then the second week, it dipped to a 0.27, came back up to 0.36, 0.38. They switched the times on it after that episode, and immediately 0.46, 0.41, 0.56, 0.41, 0.53. So switching back to the original time slot helped tremendously. But also the reason they did that, I think, is because Charity was turning in such an incredible season, and her ratings were starting to go up. Certainly in the raw viewers, they started to crack 2 million every week, even before they did the time switch. So I would argue that this season was a success, a massive success for ABC. The ability to like tack on ratings like this at the end of a season, you just don't usually see that happen. And so I'm super impressed by what Charity was able to do shouldering this entire season. And then obviously she gets the reward of Dancing with the Stars. And I think that that's literally why they chose her to do it.
Because she's such a good dancer?
I don't know if she can dance or not. I think they chose her because she's good ratings.
Oh, the ratings.
Yeah, exactly. It's just money.
Oh, I thought you meant they chose her for Bachelorette because she could eventually do Dancing with the Stars.
No, I'm saying why they chose her to be on Dancing with the Stars. I think ABC was like, she's a juggernaut, get her in here. And speaking of juggernauts, get her in here. Let's take a look at how the season finale rated up against other shows on Monday night. Needless to say, it dominated with a 0.5 rating.
Freestyle.
What?
Oh, no. I like how you wrote here freestyle from the charts.
In the notes? Yeah. Usually I write a little script for this part, but now I'm just looking at the charts and freestyling it.
I'm impressed with your freestyling.
Oh, thank you very much. I feel like as a sports commentator, you have to be able to read the numbers and be able to, you know, put it together coherently.
Mm-hmm.
So what we got on Monday night, 8 p.m., ABC, The Bachelorette, crushed everyone. 0.5 is what Bachelorette came in the demo. The next closest show was NBC, brand new episode of American Ninja Warrior with a 0.3. Then you've got a rerun of The Neighborhood on CBS with a 0.2. Then you've got Stars on Mars. I feel so fucking bad for Stars on Mars because I know Ashley Iaconetti was on it and all this. But that's on Fox. A new episode of that show scored a 0.1. And then, of course, you've got a new episode of Son of a Critch on CW with a 0.0, 420,000 overall viewers. I just can't understand it.
Son of a Critch.
How is network TV still alive? I don't get it. But nonetheless, Charity Lawson and her finale just dominating the field here.
I love to see it. It's, you know, even though we were opto, it's still absolutely bananas that she was able to do this and pull this off. And I just feel proud, and I feel like it just feels good to be a Bachelor fan again. You know what I mean?
Yes, at least for right now. It feels good. I'm staying cautiously opto 2023.
Cautiously opto.
But I agree with what you're saying in State of the Game. It's like, it's not just that they presented the season well and everything. It also goes into casting. And it's like, there wasn't a fucking racism scandal this season for the first time in a long time. And that's rare.
For real.
You know, we've gotten used to feeling, oh, fuck, there's going to be some guy in a fucking blackface or something, you know? And it just wasn't there this season, at least that we were aware of. The closest it came was Caleb Ballgard, the guy in the cowboy hat at the Mentol and the pro wrestler. There was a picture that surfaced of him with a Trump flag behind him. That's as close as it came.
Yeah, not to weigh them against each other, but yeah, I just feel lighter than I have at the end of one of these seasons and still basking. Carol Baskin.
I see what you did there.
Do you? I don't.
Yeah, I don't really either. I mean, I understand that it was the same word. That's about as far as I can take it, I guess. But let me ask you this. I have this question for you. This is almost a Scream from the Pit style question. Have you now found, because this season, at least for me, this is what I found. Let me preface by saying this. This is what I found.
This season
has, and this is not even my Scream from the Pit, but this season has given me kind of a, it's a check-in that I wasn't expecting I would get with myself, which is the quality of our beloved game has a direct effect on how I feel about life. after this fucking season, I'm like legit a happier fucking person than I have been after the other seasons.
This is a scream. This is a cry for help.
And they helped me.
Your quality of life shouldn't depend on the document.
It simply does.
But look, I understand. We spend like most of our time talking about this.
Yes. But it's no different than a person who's like a diehard fan of some kind of, you know, a fucking NFL team or something. If your team is bad that season, you're kind of fucking feeling like shit. Or if they, you know, mess up in the playoffs or whatever. I'm not saying that it's like, it dominates my entire outlook on life or anything, but it certainly has an effect. When it's a good season like this, I just feel better.
It has an effect. I agree.
Anyway.
I agree. It is it is not cause for alarm. It's fine. Everything is fine.
Cause for alarm or not, well, there's no solution. I'm not going to stop watching the fucking show. That's just how it is.
No, but I think maybe some might argue that it would be healthier if we could get to a good place of mental health regardless of the document, you know?
I mean, I don't think my mental health is suffering or anything. I'm just saying I feel like in those past seasons, especially like with the Eric Schwer thing, you just feel bad. You feel bad for watching it. You feel bad that like, oh, this is all shitty. The season ends. There's nothing like uplifting to bring you into a next chapter. I felt a million times happier when Gabby Windy came out and was like, I'm in a same-sex relationship with Robbie Hoffman and I love it and I'm never dating men again. Just that was just like a headline in a People magazine article or something. That made me happier than literally anything I saw in Bachelorette season 19. Anyway, I digress. Let's talk about these gays.
I agree. Clues has always been saying don't date men, and I agree. This is a positive thing.
I agree. I think it is too.
Yeah, let's manifest another one.
That's what I'm saying. Give us more good seasons.
BIP.
Help heal the country. Bachelor Nation can heal the nation. All you got to do is turn out good seasons. all right, let's move on into our gains, our social media gains here. First up on the big Instagram board is our next bachelor, Joey Graziade, aka the eye worker, at a gain of 74.4K this week for a total of 130K across the board. That gain might be more than all gains combined for the entire season for every player.
The only other time I can think of that happening is maybe Dale Moss when that season was ending, but this is huge. It's also like a huge Next Bachelor number. And I think that's part of why I'm opto about the Next Bachelor.
I know.
Is people are really, they're hot for Joey. And look, I finally understand it. I saw the TikTok of him in the water and I was like, okay, we're going to have an amazing season. And because of a little tidbit you told me.
Yeah. And that tidbit is, every season I get, you know, a bunch of DMs from people saying they want to go into the show for this reason or that reason. This is the most DMs I have ever gotten saying, Joey's the bachelor. I need to date him. He's the reason people want to go into the game now. And really, honestly, in the whatever it's been, 3 seasons that I've been coaching, or 3 years, I should say, 3 cycles that I've been coaching, I don't think I've ever really gotten that. Ever. It's usually like, I want to go into The Bachelor. Like, whoever The Bachelor is, I don't give a fuck. I just want to get on the show. This specifically, a bunch of people are DMing me like, Joey's amazing. I want to date him. So hopefully that's going to result in some insane gameplay.
Hopefully it's indicative of a larger, a larger trend. Second place for gains, ring winner Dotton gained 47K, nice, for a total of 77.5K.
Interesting to see what he might be doing while supporting for Dancing with the Stars as well. Mm-hmm. Will that number go up? Is he going to be a good cheerleader for charity while she's making her path to the mirror ball? I don't know. We'll see.
I hope so.
Third place is our villain, Braden Bowers. He gained 4K for a total of 21.8K.
Fourth place, Tanner Courtaud gained 3K for a total of 24.2K.
And fifth place, our once hope, to be the first Asian bachelor, John Barresh gained 2.6K for a total of 20.1K.
Now for the top five Instagram chart total. Joey Grazia Day, the haver of eyes, takes the top spot with 130K. We're not there yet.
Okay, Dalton, also the haver of eyes, is in second place, 77.5K total. These are all havers of eyes.
No, but it's the eye. Oh, what was the guy in X-Men called who had the laser eyes?
Cyclops.
That's not a good one.
Yeah.
Tanner Courtois is in third place with 24.2K.
Your villain, Braden Bowers, is in fourth with 21.8K.
And John B is in fifth with 20.1K followers. Now for the top five TikTok chart, it has remained unchanged.
This is unreal. Fucking, it's all night one guys. Night one guy, Christopher Spell, aka the professional jumper, is still in first place, 173.9K, never changed.
PP of FP was 32.4K in second place.
Caleb Ballgard is in third place with 21.6K.
Khalid Hassan, fourth place, 6.6K.
And Sean McLaughlin, who I believe will be the new mayor of Paradise, rounds out the top five with 1.6K followers. So we'll see. Look, overall, I'm enthused by this. I'm encouraged by this because that number that Joey Grazia Day pulled is like, that's a number of old. Mm-hmm. So it means that the fourth audience is out there, is willing to engage with all these players on social media. The era of social media influence being the reward for playing well is not dead. It just means it's got to be presented better. And hopefully this big spike for Joey Grazia Day means during his season or even during BIP, we're going to see some significant growth. I'm hopeful for that, actually.
Wouldn't that be fascinating if the changeup of producers just created, like, suddenly they get Love is Blind numbers?
Well, I mean, you know, we're going into this BIP, and traditionally in BIP, at least for the last couple of seasons, social media, even mentioning the word Instagram or anything like that, results in a moralistic villain edit. You get kicked out of the show in some cases. Grocery and his band of, what was it, belligerent women?
Disgruntled females.
Yeah.
Belligerent women.
Whatever they called it. I don't fucking remember. Support for today's episode comes from OneSkin. If you have sensitive skin, you're going to want to hear about OneSkin's scientifically proven topical supplements. This is face, eye, body, shield, and it can all be used with any of their other products, which are free from over 1,500 chemicals and preservatives that can make skin red, irritated, or itchy. Their products are safe for sensitive skin. It's just one of the reasons they've earned the Skin Safe seal of approval.
You got to keep that skin glowing if you want to be keeping up the level of face play that I've got going on. And OneSkin was founded by an all-woman team of scientists. Their products are backed by extensive lab and clinical data to validate their efficacy and safety on all skin types. Their topical supplements are the easiest way to keep your skin healthy and hydrated without the harsh ingredients or irritation found in other skincare products often. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code ROSES at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code ROSES. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support Gore and tell them that we sent you.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine. That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in.
Known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, Canopy is dermatologist recommended. This unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water. Best of all, the Canopy filtered shower head is hassle-free, installation's a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement. Go to canopy.com.
canopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, Gore listeners can use our code ROSES at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you. Clues. Underwear drawers, they're not organized. They're like the Wild West, the final frontier of wardrobes. Mm. And there's no rhyme or reason to them. You got ones that are super old, different brands, etc. You don't know what to expect. But now I have felt the buttery soft comfort of MeUndies. And now I want to replace the whole drawer with MeUndies because those are my now go-to. I'm currently wearing their long sleeve shirt and my, which is not what this ad is about, but I am also wearing the super soft, sustainable modal fabric thong with no roll back waistband. You want that. You don't want it to be rolling. You don't want it to be showing. And I'm hooked. I don't want to wear anything else. It's all got to go now.
Well, this ad actually is kind of about that, Pace Case. Everybody knows MeUndies makes great underwear. It's in the name, MeUndies. But it's not just about underwear. You can explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and a whole bunch more. And their Move Me activewear collection is the softest activewear on the market. There's no doubt about it. Right now, you can get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/roses. That's MeUndies.com/roses for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. But, you know, that was your fate in prior seasons, if you even mentioned the word Instagram. Now we'll see how they present it, and maybe it'll be different, and maybe it'll encourage the fans to actually engage with their players on social media. Time will tell indeed. But now it is that time of this show when we move on to discuss all those luscious tids.
This is Bachelor Nation News.
First up at Bachelor Nation News, a new dark fetus has entered the nation. 44-year-old Dark Lord Jesse Palmer and his wife, Emily Fardo, took to Instagram last Friday to announce that they are expecting their first baby, a daughter, in early January. The couple shared maternity pics that they took at the beach, along with a caption that read, quote, "We've been keeping a secret. Our family is growing and our hearts are so full. This is a dream come true for us. And we're so thrilled to be welcoming our BB girl in January 2024.
DLP told People Magazine about how excited he is to finally get a female addition to his family, saying Emily has always wanted a daughter and she is so maternal by nature. I've always known that she's going to be the best mom. I know our daughter is going to walk all over me. She already has me wrapped around her finger. I'm a little nervous since I never grew up with girls in the house."
DLP and Fardo started dating in 2017. 2 years later, they were engaged during a surprise getaway trip to Paris that many believe was mandated by the Bachelor franchise as a condition of his ascendance to Dark Lordship. Congratulations to DLP and his wife, Emily, on this new addition to the nation forever. May he reign.
I screamed when I saw this. I just never really thought about it. And now it's here.
And that kid is going to be born almost in conjunction with the airing of Bachelor 28. So there may be some good social media play to be done there.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he might be out for paternity leave.
Well, no, because they're shooting right now, or will be shooting in the next couple of weeks. That the whole season will be shot in the can by the time his child is born.
God, can you imagine how much more empathetic he's going to get when he's a dad?
Oh my God. Less, if anything, because now he'll be super concerned about money.
Less.
Yeah.
All eggs are Dylan Barber and season 23 top three player Hannah Godwin have entered into a legally binding agreement of holy matrimony. Romantic clues, this writing.
San Diego Crew All-Stars held a week-long wedding extravaganza in France this past week that concluded with an official ceremony at the Chateau de Villiers in Condecor in front of 145 friends and family members.
The couple sold their wedding to People Magazine, who published pictures and interviews about the event, including Barber saying, "I honestly did not expect the wedding to be this dreamlike. I can't wait to spend every moment appreciating our life and celebrating such a huge life moment with Hannah and my family."
The week-long for-profit event was planned by W Society and included a welcome party held on a boat cruise by Paris Seine during sunset and an intimate garden party-themed rehearsal dinner at the chateau before the pair said, "I do," the following day.
People's coverage of the event included mentions and links to Godwin's, three different SponCon gowns by Atelier Ponovias Haute Couture. Oh my God, I'm sorry, Grandma. Including the double lingerie satin wedding dress with a crystal rhinestone trimmed veil and matching tulle gloves embroidered with Swarovski crystals for her vows. Shoes and jewelry were styled by Hope Levine.
Godwin walked down the aisle to Can't Help Falling in Love by Elvis Presley, while the bride and groom shared their first dance to L-O-V-E by Nat King Cole. Big congrats go out to this all-star couple. We hope you spend the people money well as you move into this next chapter of your lives together.
This is a royal wedding. I know you call it a for-profit, whatever it was, but this is a huge wedding in the nation.
No, I don't say that in a negative way. I think every one of these couples should sell their fucking wedding to the highest bidder. Get that goddamn money. You fell in love on TV. Your relationship has been public and has been for profit since the beginning. Go out with a bang here, and I hope they have for profit babies too.
Anything to be more cozy.
That's right. Exactly.
And as one high profile couple from the nation celebrates a lifetime commitment, another is still trying to get through a difficult breakup. On the latest episode of his Trading Secrets podcast, Nashville Slider superstar and Gore Girl Jason Tardik opened up about how he's been coping from his split from Caitlin Bristow, saying, "I just think through this time, and it's like, honestly, we talk a lot about careers and money here, and that is a huge foundation to our life, but it just comes down to relationships, friendships, and those who are around you. And even though Ramen and Pino are animals and pets, they're best friends to me. Ugh, just having them with me has been amazing. Having a great support system in the last month to few months has been everything to me. I've leaned on them harder than I've ever in my life ever leaned on my support system."
Tardik also mentioned that he has been going to therapy, even planning to attend his next session the day after recording Monday's episode. Tardik's time in counseling has taught him that there's no timeline for handling grief and being in love with someone and losing that someone. Quote, "It's just sad, it's lonely, it's an empty feeling, and there's times where you have these just tidal waves of depression. But then there are these times where you feel lifted and you feel good again. We hope that you get to feeling good again as soon as possible." Jason Tardik, a very valued member of Bachelor Nation, one of the best podcasters in the game. And it's very strange. I generally don't have any personal stake in any of the relationships in Bachelor Nation. I am nothing if not notoriously by the statistics in terms of who I think will break up. This relationship, this one got me a little bit. It got me
a
little bit.
Yeah. It definitely got me, but it wasn't as impressive as Clues. I told you about my scream. I was just like, oh, I was horrified by the news. And that was when it was just a rumor. No, I hope that they feel good as soon as possible. And I mean, I guess we just need another good Bachelor season to get all of our mental health good again, right?
Yeah.
Up next in Bachelor Nation news, season 17 Bachelorette Parasocial Powerhouse and San Diego crew superstar Katie Thurston is making her triumphant return to reality television this October as one of the three leads of F-Boy Island season 3. The show was canceled after two seasons on HBO Max, but was resurrected at the CW. Thurston will join model Hallie Okeowo and influencer Daniela Grace as the leads of the season searching for love while they try to figure out which of the 21 men on the island are F-boys or nice guys. All of the players from the upcoming season have been released online, so you can start making your predictions now. F-Boy Island Season 3 premieres on the CW October 12th, and we can't wait to see Katie Thurston back in action. And Tommy, it looks like.
Yeah, I think Tommy made it. Tommy made Let's it to F-Boy Island. Good luck to both of them on the island. Finally, in Bachelor Nation news, a new episode of a docuseries called The Dark Side of the 2000s has been released that details some of the more nefarious strategies and practices used by producers in the classic era of our beloved game. Former producers from that era gave rare interviews about what they did to players in the early seasons. Much of the episode involves Mike Fleiss himself, and one topic of discussion was the process they would go through to choose women for the show, as told by Marky Costello, the casting director for season one. She said, Mike Fleiss loved beautiful blondes. We were looking for women that were smart, beautiful, educated, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. They don't want fat. They don't want ugly. They don't want pimples. They want someone that is visually appealing.
Hooey. I remember they had one that was just literally in the document that was like, and they got to look good in a hot tub. Michael Carroll, a producer on the show during the 2000s, also described how they would try to cast certain roles for the show. Like a villain saying, we needed a bimbo, we needed a hoe, we needed a ditzy girl that everyone could make fun of.
Carol further explained, you had to go for their hot buttons. Their dad left them when they were 8 years old. They were left at the altar, and that's how it is. If you want to be on The Bachelor, you're going to cry right here. And if you don't cry enough, we're going to find a way to get you out. And then we're going to make you cry when you leave because you didn't get The Bachelor. So you better cry. That was a little bit of liberty in the performance there that I took.
Oh, my God. Terrifying.
Yeah.
The episode also reveals that Fleiss and another high-ranking producer, Lisa Levinson, would design the order of eliminations, with Carol saying, every rose ceremony, there was an argument between Mike Fleiss and Lisa Levinson and ABC The Network about which chicks, which girls should get roses and which should go home.
None of this is new information to us here in the pit, of course, but to see it coming from the mouths of producers on tape signifies that we are entering a new era of the game in which the early seasons are far enough behind us that these producers are allowed to speak about them in ways that might have gotten them sued even a few years ago, I think. Hopefully, this is the first of many docuseries of this type that are going to shed real light on the behind-the-scenes producer manipulations back in those early days.
When does DLP's $9 million contract end?
We're not far enough away from that one yet. I think we have to go at least Dang. Two seasons without a racism scandal, and then maybe we could start to discuss that. But they've only got one of those, one season so far without a racism scandal since Matt James's season, and even beyond that, even before that.
Yeah. Well, Opto 2023.
Indeed.
And a big happy 30th birthday goes out to Gore girl Susie Evans, who celebrated her birthday earlier this week.
And now, let's move on to that portion of our program where we're talking about all those plays that our favorite players are making off the field and on their telephones. This is
the parasocial play of the week.
First, there was a Mentel All follow-up play. Aaron S. posted an incredibly well-made reel. First, he features Adrian making the spring break comment, and then he flashes to a ton of video clips of a bunch of the season 20 rookies partying together, bonding, etc. IRL post-show. It looks very 4TRR, wholesome fun, and like a close-knit second audience. And the reel has 278 likes, 6.8K views.
PP made LP shirts with 100% of the profits going to Pilots for Kids, where pilots help hospitalized children all over the country.
And then we had Crown Time. Joey Grazia Day, the person who has powerful eyes, made his 4TRR swan song bachelor announcement post on Instagram, and he got 60K likes, 1.7K comments.
Charity Lawson finally hit 200K Instagram followers this week. She posted her first batch of pictures with Dalton on Instagram after the finale. The caption reads, within all my senses, I knew. How grateful am I to discover a love that cannot be replicated? This was in no way an easy journey, but through it all, grace. You have shown me in the most healthy way how to receive and love fully again. I cannot wait to take on this life with you. Here's to living out our very own real life fairy tale! Exclamation, exclamation, exclamation. I love you. Ring emoji, heart emoji, rose emoji. The offering garnered 145K likes and 658,000 views.
Let's go.
God damn it.
Her first TikTok with Dotton highlighting the sparkler and some quick kiss play raked in 80K likes and 640K views as well. Jason Tardik documented moving out of his shared home with Caitlin Bristow on Instagram via a reel of him and Pino and Ramen moving with a caption of appreciation for his friend Hawk, who flew out to help him move. I wonder if this is a hawk. It got 95K likes and 943K views on Instagram.
And good at job. The Golden Bachelor posted a TikTok featuring Gary's granddaughter, Charlie, doing a voiceover introducing her grandfather to the world. The video has 47.3K likes and 472.9K views.
Cute. A royal wedding Hannah and Dylan posted for the first time as a married couple. The caption reads, "The barbers, white heart emoji." And then they have a bunch of SponCon for the wedding. The carousel post hasn't even been up for a full day and already has 370K likes, 2K comments.
All these were, of course, strong plays. But as DLP says, there can be only one winner, which I say a lot on this podcast, just FYI. And I got it from an old movie from the 80s called The Highlander.
No, I think it was DLP first, actually.
Oh, all right. Anyway, there can be only one winner. And let me give you a little hint. Excuse you, what? Our parasocial play of the week goes to Gregor Grippo, the shy style chow taught player, racked up 7.5 million views and 888K likes on a TikTok where he pranks his girlfriend and fellow Bachelor Nation alum, Victoria Fuller. In the video, under the caption, told the waiter to give me a shot and say it's from a girl. Let's see how this goes. He then films himself receiving that shot and then Victoria Fuller's reaction, in which she steals the shot in the most Victoria Fuller way possible, full of faceplay and FUs. This video conjures such a reaction in the viewer that Pace Case felt like she was in trouble after just watching the content. The caption reads, skull emoji. You just have to watch it for yourself.
It's so good. It's powerful. Even if this couple doesn't stay together in real life, I think they should stay together parasocially because I love what is coming out of them.
I mean, I don't want to put predictions on couples, but I do it anyway. Statistically, we know they'll fail. There's something about them, though, that's telling me maybe they're going to last forever.
Long game?
Yeah. There's just something about them that seems like they cannot live without each other, in my opinion. They have become fused forever. We'll see. We'll see.
I mean, they did get those tattoos. Those are forever.
Well, I don't know. A couple of people have a tattoo that says Grace as well. I think you'll remember. At any rate, let's move on to these creatures. We have a great offering from villain player Braden Bowers. He made a great Instagram, this story where he's cuddling up to his dog River. The caption reads, best cuddle buddy you could ask for. Dog emoji. Very cute. Unfortunately, not cute enough to take home Parasocial Creature of the Week. That award goes to Becca Tilly and her pup trying to do the spinning Taylor Swift trend, but it doesn't go as planned. And Becca Tilly is just chasing her little dog around and around and around her living room, and it's so fucking cute. You should definitely go check it out. Congratulations to Becca Tilly and her canine companion.
This is so cute. I can't stop watching these videos when they come up on TikTok.
Yeah,
they always start with like a lady with her phone in her mouth.
Yeah,
I'm gonna do one of Luca, and you should do it to Mr. Skaboulian.
I don't, you know, I let Skaboulian kind of live his own life. I will do a forced cuddle on him here and there, but I don't like to tempt him to drink my blood too much.
The boxing.
He loves the boxing.
The boxing is tempting him to drink your blood. What do you mean you don't like it?
He forces me to do it. He comes to me and says, let's box. And then I'm obligated. If Skaboulian wants something, you see, Skaboulian gets something. Okay. Every time.
So who is in charge here?
He is never denied. In this household, Skaboulian is never denied.
Moving on. Moving on. You want to talk about DLP having his little unborn child wrapped around DLP wrapped around the finger? I'm wrapped around four paws at this point.
Yeah, I know. It's adorable.
Let's move on to that portion of our program in which Pace Case and I descend deep into the pit, issue forth our screams about how our fandom for our beloved game has radically altered our personalities, our lives, our schedules, mental health, everything.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
This is
Screams from the Pit!
My scream is golden. Goldini golden. Golden Bachelor golden. I received some information that a certain Golden Bachelor was filming in Young Country, Minneapolis, where I am currently residing. And I had to go through this point with myself. I was like, I can go two ways with this. Ignore the information that has been presented to me, or go down a rabbit hole trying to figure out exactly where they're filming and go, you know, potentially be part of the audience or something for a date. And my scream is that I am still seeking this information, trying to find where they're shooting. And I have been thinking about it as like, I am going to be tracking down this, a 72-year-old man. And that feels strange.
That feels strange. We bought a fucking rubber toilet plunger and sent it to two people we've never met for their wedding. And those people are billionaires.
Of course we did do that. Yes. We bought a toilet plunger for billionaires.
I think trying to track down the location of the Golden Bachelor is among the more innocuous things that either of us have done in service of our fandom to this, but I wish you luck in this endeavor. And I hope that you do get into the golden document.
Hmm. Well, we will see. I will keep you posted.
Okay.
What should I do if I can get in the crowd or talk to any of the contestants?
Definitely wear a Gore shirt and start to prime the pump with some of those producers about doing our Hoot Joo date.
Always be content. Okay. If I'm a producer and I start pitching them the group date idea from the crowd of the date.
Yeah, exactly. Right when they're in the middle of taping, when they're like, okay, everybody be quiet. We need to get some dialogue here. You just scream out, I want to host a Hoot Joo date in season 28. I live in Los Angeles.
Let Gore host a group date, you fucking cowards.
I'll do it for free. Fucking flying Kelsey Weir. Just start screaming that. Weir.
Do it for the legacy. Yeah.
No, I love the scream. I wish you luck and success in this endeavor. My scream this week has to do with something outside the control of the Dark Lords. I'm talking about the Los Angeles hurricane, Hurricane Hillary. Now, last week, if you live in Southern California, or maybe if you're just following national news, there was a hurricane that swept through Southern California called Hurricane Hillary. And it did do some damage to various areas in Southern California, specifically the desert regions, I think got hit the hardest, and there was some flooding and stuff. But it wasn't the disastrous natural event that it was predicted to be. And when it came through Los Angeles, all that really happened was like a light rain. That said, my power went out for 24 hours from late afternoon Sunday into Monday. And as the minutes were ticking by and my food was rotting in the refrigerator, all I could think was, how the fuck am I going to watch this Bachelorette finale?
Not about like the heat or anything like that.
Oh, yeah. And also it was like 90 degrees in my living room because there was no air conditioning and all that. Yes. I didn't give a fuck about any of that. All I cared about was how am I going to fucking watch this as it airs? And eventually what I had to wind up doing is I called up Will, my friend who I do another podcast with. And I'm like, can I come to your house to Humble that podcast bag. Studio and basically just sit in the studio by myself and use the Wi-Fi so I can watch fucking Bachelor and do our podcast? I just couldn't have cared less about the fucking hurricane. And like all that mattered to me was watching The Bachelor. And I just kind of realized like it wouldn't have mattered if that hurricane would have fucking decimated LA.
If it would have reduced.
Yeah. If it would have reduced my home to like fucking rubble and sticks. I still would have cared mostly, I think, about how do I watch The Bachelorette. That's just where I am.
That's an interesting thought experiment. Like, how damaged would our houses have to get before we forget, or before we, like, don't watch The Bachelor?
I just don't think it... I don't think there's a level of, like, personal damage I could incur.
The limit does not exist. Okay, thank you. I figured that would be your answer.
I truly don't think it does. I just don't think there's a way, at this point in my life, that I'm ever going to be beyond caring about The Bachelor at the highest possible level, especially when it's in season. At any rate, let's move on. We have another screen here. Now, as many of you may know, if you listen to this program, you can submit screams to us and we will play them here and analyze them and discuss them. If you'd like to do that, you just go to patreon.com/gameofroses. That's going to give you access to our Discord. In that Discord is a channel, Screams from the Pit. You can submit a 1 minute or under audio clip of your scream in that channel. And we play the best ones here. Today, the scream comes from us from a user named Samantha C. And it looks like it has a video with it. I'm going to listen to the scream first, then I'm going to watch the video. Here we go. Let's listen to the scream.
Hello, Pit. I am a dweller from the Bay Area, unfortunately a parasocial teamless region. I am an instructor of a young child army, aka a first grade teacher. At the beginning of this past school year, I learned that a father in my class was a player on Bachelorette Season 2, Meredith Phillips. Not wanting to be unprofessional, I never talked to him about it or did anything with this information. But fast forward to the last day of school this year. A different child wanted to hand out flowers to her classmates. They were roses. I told her that she could only pass them out if she asked each recipient, "Will you accept this rose?" Without even thinking twice, I purposefully guided her towards the daughter of the Season 2 player and immediately took out my phone and recorded her offering the rose. In case this player would ever want his daughter to play as a second-generation contestant, I have her on video, at the age of 6, receiving the first flower. Praise be. Our beloved game.
This is fantastic, and I'm assuming now the video will be this video. Let's take a look at the video.
She's got faceplate. She's got a little little charisma about her. Okay.
Yes, I agree. This is an interesting historical document. Definitely a high-level scream as well. To allow your fandom of our beloved game to creep into your profession in such a way is fascinating. Obviously, it has taken over our entire professional lives. But to see opportunities like this emerge, when you learn that someone was a player from a prior season, and all you can then think about is what that means in terms of your relationship to them, even if it is tangential, as this is, it can kind of cloud your judgment, I guess, about, I mean, I feel it very similar to like when I was like, I need to get weights. And then I wind up at a bachelor player's backyard where I'm paying him $100 cash to walk away with two 30-pound dumbbells at the height of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I feel like my judgment was clouded in that moment as well.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Because of that deep fandom, she was ready to capture this moment. And, you know, I appreciate that. Like, you got to be quick before that girl gave that flower to someone else. And those are the right instincts to eventually capture something that will, you know, go viral, et cetera.
Got to have your phone ready at all times. I still remember seeing Nick Viall walking down a street, Third Street, and this was even on his podcast at the time, he was talking about how he would always be eating at Jones on Third. I'm sure you know that restaurant. Yes. Because I think he lived in that neighborhood or whatever. And I remember driving down the street and seeing him and being so fucking mad at myself that I wasn't fast enough to get my phone out. I thought about maybe turning back, circling back, but I was like, nah, he's probably in his car, fucking gone by now. I was so fucking pissed at myself to have missed that opportunity. So it's good here.
Don't be pissed at yourself. It'll come up again.
You think I'll just see him in the wild again like that?
You'll see him in the wild again. You've already seen him in the wild multiple times, right?
Yeah, but he's going to be a dad. That means he's going to be more of a shut-in, more of a recluse. I feel like it'll be tough. Yeah. Somehow we got to get on his podcast.
I saw him in a grocery store once.
Ooh, that's a good one.
What is the word that you use to call his four seasons?
Oh, tetralogy?
The tetralogy, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad that you got to see him after the tetralogy. I hope he was picking up some good groceries. And thank you, Samantha, for sending in this incredible scream. I hope that you and all of your students that you're teaching there have a great rest of Opto 2023. And I hope everyone else does as well.
Thank you for being a teacher.
I really am feeling very good about Opto 2023. But again, if you want to submit your own screams, just jump on patreon.com/gameroses, get in that Discord, fire off that scream, and we'll play them here. So thanks again to everybody for joining us this week for This Week in Bachelor Nation. That does wrap up the show. We hope you have a great weekend, and we'll be back next week to talk about our top 10 takeaways from Charity's Bachelorette Season 20 and give out our season-long awards. We're talking about Error of the Season, Jorge Moreno Bystander of the Season.
Favorite sign.
Sign of the Season, yeah. I think there's one choice there. I think we know what wins that. But we hope you'll join us for that. And before we go, as always, what is that dwob at?
It's been 7,823 days without an Asian bachelor. Praise be Dark Lord Palmer.
Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then